Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies. Held on Fridays in May, each film touches upon Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, including Goya or the Hard Way to Enlightenment and the discreet charm of the bourgeoisie at nortonsimon.org.
Support comes from Pasadena Playhouse, presenting Jelly's Last Jam. Follow Jelly Roll Morton, the self-proclaimed inventor of jazz, in this ambitious musical masterpiece that's sure to blow the roof off the theater. Performances begin May 29th. Tickets at PasadenaPlayhouse.org.
Today on the LA Report, the latest survey on happiness in LA is out, and fear of losing one's home is plaguing millions of residents.
That's a lot of people who go to bed at night with anxiety.
Move over pickleball. A new lawn sport is taking South Pasadena by storm. And later, our forests have been scarred by years of drought. As part of LA's special Earth Day coverage, science reporter Jacob Margolis investigates how California trees are recovering after 2 years of rainy winters. It's Sunday, April 21st. I'm Julia Paskin. And that's coming up on the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. But first, here's the latest news. The Supreme Court will hear arguments tomorrow on a case that could allow California cities to issue fines for sleeping on public land and sidewalks. LAist's Kevin Tidmarsh has more.
Until now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that laws punishing people for sleeping outside when there isn't enough shelter space qualify as cruel and unusual punishment. But that stance could be overturned by the Supreme Court. If that happens, cities in California could fine individuals for sleeping on the street. While Los Angeles has set up no camping zones and conducts regular sweeps of encampments, the city, under Mayor Karen Bass, has favored policies that encourage people to seek out housing rather than punish them. For LAist 89.3, I'm Kevin Tidmarsh.
The Supreme Court's ruling is expected this summer. LA Mayor Karen Bass will present a new city budget tomorrow. LAist's Peyton Seda has more.
The budget proposal comes amidst a projected deficit of almost $500 million. The shortfall is due to a combination of an unexpected drop in tax revenue as well as overspending, largely due to the salaries for the LA Police Department. That's according to a report from the city administrative officer. The report recommended eliminating a number of vacant positions to address the issue. Mayor Bass has renewed her commitment to public safety and to addressing homelessness in her State of the City address last week. For LAist 89.3, I'm Peyton Seda.
A new study from UCLA has found that Angelenos say their quality of life has decreased in recent years. The survey asked people to rate the most important issues to them, and the economy and housing issues were at the top of the list, says director Zev Yaroslavsky.
So what's happened is in the last 9 years, the rich have gotten richer, the poor have not kept up with the pace of the cost of living increases.
Yaroslavsky added a major issue among people surveyed was the affordability of housing.
There are 2.6 million people in L.A. County who go to bed every night worried about whether they're going to lose their home, get evicted for some reason. That's a lot of people who go to bed at night with anxiety.
Housing and affordability of food were rated as the two most important issues for L.A. County residents. Also, a question about air conditioning was added for the first time, and that led to finding that communities in South L.A. and the South San Gabriel Valley have less access to cooling systems. Once again, survey director Zev Yaroslavsky.
The South Los Angeles area, having that high of a percentage of residents that don't have air conditioning was really not surprising, but telling.
About a quarter of L.A. County residents don't have air conditioning, but that jumps to about a third in some low-income communities. Los Angeles County is currently exploring a mandate that would require landlords to supply air conditioning or allow tenants to install them. The survey, which has been conducted for 9 years, also recorded drops in satisfaction with education and local elected officials. And if you're feeling particularly unhappy yourself, there's a new travel trend that may do the trick. It's the quiet vacation, where you retreat in solitude and nature to disconnect. And yes, there's an industry for it. Here is John Stapp, CEO of Getaway, that provides cabins for just that purpose.
Our need as a people is to have more balance in our lives, to get away from the noisy city, to get away from our stressful jobs, and to be able to enjoy free time and benefit from having a moment to just be with ourselves.
Sarah Pressman, a psychology professor at UC Irvine, has this explanation for the growing trend.
This is probably evidence of is that we are not restoring right now in a way that maybe we used to be able to. And so to really restore, people are saying, no, I need to cut myself off. I need to have no internet access. I need quiet.
You can read more about the quiet vacation trend on LAist.com. Pickleball was the latest hobby sport to sweep through Los Angeles, but a game called Cube has taken South Pasadena by storm. It's a lawn sport where players toss a small baton to knock down wooden blocks. Here is player John Patterson.
It's a yard game in the same genre as horseshoes or cornhole. You know, there's a bunch of games where you stand around with your friends chatting and having fun and throwing things across the yard.
Patterson says it's easy to understand why Cube is gaining popularity.
Do you like throwing things at other things? Everybody does, right? Yeah. Well, it's a good outlet for that.
Well, South Pasadena is hosting the annual West Coast Championship a week from today. That's April 28th. In the meantime, you can read all about the sport and how it got to LA on LAist.com. More after this break.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies, held on select Fridays in May. Each film touches upon Spanish artist Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, including Goya or The Hard Way to Enlightenment by Conrad Wolf and The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie by Luis Buñuel. Screenings are at 4:30 p.m. on consecutive Fridays, now through May 31st. More information at nortonsimon.org.
Support for LAist comes from Pasadena Playhouse, presenting Jelly's Last Jam. When Jelly Roll Morton's soul is forced to face the music, the self-proclaimed inventor of jazz is left at the ultimate crossroads. This lively musical follows the journey from the back alleys of New Orleans to the sparkling stages of New York, featuring a sizzling bandstand, electrifying tap dancing, and soulful tunes. On stage for 4 weeks only, Jelly's Last Jam. Performances begin May 29th. Tickets available now at PasadenaPlayhouse.org.
Back now to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin.
Tomorrow is Earth Day, and LAist will have special coverage throughout the day on air and at LAist.com. For a preview of his reporting, we have LAist science reporter Jacob Margolis with us. He's taken a look at how California's forests are surviving after years of extreme drought, followed by two very wet winters, to see if our forests could be on a path of recovery. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Glad to have you. Jacob, you have reported that 170 million trees have died in the state. That is an awful lot. Were certain areas hit harder than others?
Yeah, so those 170 million were from, you know, across all of our forests between 2010 and 2021. So some of the most brutal drought years we've ever experienced. Between 2011 or so and 2016, it was really the central and southern portions that got really walloped. And between 2019 and 2022, you know, that was in the northern part of the state most recently. What happened was basically drought weakened the trees, made them vulnerable to beetle attacks and disease. And, you know, now we see all those classic pictures of just stands of brown across our previously gorgeous landscapes.
Yeah. And then there's also really damaging fires that we've had over the years. Has that also contributed to a lot of tree death?
Absolutely. It has a lot to do with the stands of dead trees driving fires, because those dead trees can act as kindling. But it also has to do with the forests. They've been long overcrowded, so there was a lot of fuel to burn. The overcrowding in the forests that we had come to love seeing that were just full of green, part of that was a result of more than a century of fire suppression, and we let our landscapes overgrow. And that's why it's important that you know, we continue to do mechanical thinning, prescribed burns, because those treatments are actually going to help with forest health and potentially help us get to a healthier place with our forest than we were before.
So with all of the recent rainfall, it seems like the soil on the forest floor would be pretty saturated, and we've got a really great snowpack right now. What does the recovery for the trees really look like?
Yeah, so the good news is the soil is indeed saturated, that a lot of that snow and that wetness will potentially delay fire season a bit. It should stick around for a while. The timing could vary depending on heat, obviously, and we could see quite a hot summer. And the trees that survive the fires, survive the beetle attacks, have started to recover. They will continue to recover, especially in conifer forests. There's less competition for moisture. The sun in many of those places can now hit some of those trees more easily than before. So some of the fires actually did a really important job of clearing out those problematic areas. All that said, there are still huge stands of dead trees around, which can drive extreme fires. A lot of our fires are started by humans. So, you know, recommendation to everyone, just don't start any fires, and hopefully we'll be all good. Besides lightning, of course.
Yes, good advice to all. Do not start fires. Yeah. What about our giant sequoias that you've reported on? Are they doing any better or worse for the fire?
Yeah, they've really, really suffered through the extreme fire regime that we've been living through. They're not as impacted by just a couple years of moisture, it seems. Although in a couple years, it'd probably be good if scientists were taking some core samples of the bigger trees to really see. Their growth pattern is apparently pretty consistent, because think about how old they are and how deep rooted they must be. You know, they're probably accessing moisture much deeper in the ground than other shallow rooted trees like white fir. That said, the problem there has been just overgrowth as well, especially of other species of trees that have carried this extreme fire up to the crowns of these giant sequoias, which are quite high up in the air if you've ever seen them in person. And so the hope is that we can do more and more prescribed burning, mechanical thinning in some of those forests. You know, it's the only place on Earth, really, that we have trees like this. And hopefully we can kind of help that landscape recover a bit. And I know they're trying to do that at the national park quite a bit as well. So hopefully that continues to improve.
That's LAist science reporter Jacob Margolis. You can read more on Jacob's reporting tomorrow as part of LAist's special Earth Day coverage at LAist.com. Jacob, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. The Weekend LA Report is hosted by me, Julia Paskin, and produced by Monica Bushman and Kevin Tidmarsh. Our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. The podcast is edited by Fiona Ng. Catherine Mailhouse is the director of content development, and our vice president of podcasts is Shana Naomi Crockmall. Join us back here tomorrow. You can read more at LAist.com and listen live on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. Listeners like you help make the LA Report possible. Please donate at laist.com/join. This podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
LAist Studios operates within the homelands of the Gabrielino Tongva people. We recognize the painful history of displacement, settler colonialism, and erasure of the people, their language, and their sovereignty. Visit laist.com/land for more information. We encourage you to get curious about the land on which you live and work.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.